a question. Do we want our weather to be funny?
I hadn't read it until I read it. And then it's like, that's just ridiculous.
I guess we all need some levity in our lives, but should the weather be providing that levity?
I need some lawn work in my life. That's what I need. I want to get out there.
Is it too early to cut the grass? Well, have you done it yet?
No, there's nothing growing. Half my grass is still brown.
Yeah, I know. This is like the most dismal time of year. Spring is supposed to be lovely and beautiful. But
full of pastel colors. Where are they? Where are our pastel colors?
There's nothing going on.
Everything's
just drab.
Shades of gray.
Which is like my heart until it warms up officially.
Yeah. I know we discussed this a little bit yesterday, but once you hit 70, you say to yourself, I think everything's good now. But then, as Steve pointed out in the funny weather, in today's episode of Funny Weather.
Sorry about that.
I looked
at it and I'm like, are you kidding me?
I know.
There are two people in my life that wear shorts when it gets to be warm. One of them is my son, Dylan, who's 15. And the other one is a wise young man, Dylan. The other one is you.
Yeah.
And he whipped out the shorts yesterday.
Yeah, he's
you did not.
Than I am. No,
I'm shocked. It was 70. I know the temperature dropped.
Right. Oh, did it drop?
Oh, my God.
Yesterday, I had what I think may be my last lunch over at Howells and Hood because apparently they're closing soon. You know, did you hear the building is being sold, Wendy?
No one told me.
So a friend and I, my friend Bob and I, had lunch there. And when we went out there, we started lunch and it was warm.
You were outside?
It was fantastic. And an hour later, as we were leaving, we were bundled up. It was 15 or 20 degrees colder just in an hour.
That's
crazy.
Funny.
That's funny. That's what it is. It's not crazy. It's funny. That's why Tom Skilling must be just laughing himself senseless.
God, I love him. I can't tell you how much I love him. Please watch that 70th anniversary of WGN TV.
I will. You talked me into it.
Because he kills me.
You talked me into it. Later on the show, Kurt Wagner will join us. We'll talk television with Kurt Wagner. Another show from days of old is coming back. You know, Roseanne is a huge hit.
Although you're not loving it, are you? Because I'm loving it.
I have to be honest with you. I like the first episode a lot. I like the second episode a little less. I like the third episode a little less.
This last episode, I think this is the fourth one that you haven't seen that yet?
I have not seen this one yet.
That one is a little on the serious side, which is okay because I'm trying to think back. The real Roseanne was very formulaic and very, like, you know,
set up punchline.
That's how it was, and it made me laugh then. And my gauge is if I laugh out loud. And if I do.
Mine is too.
And I have been laughing out loud. Not this past episode because it was serious, but they tackled serious issues in Roseanne a while ago, too.
But the Chicago weather should not be funnier than an episode of Roseanne. That's my test.
All right. Good point.
All right. So what you just said is exactly how I judge any show, any sitcom, any comedy. I say, am I laughing out loud, or is it just happening once in a while, or is it happening frequently?
Do you guys really laugh out loud watching TV?
Yeah,
oh,
sometimes.
Yeah.
Don't you,
Roseanne,
Steve, ever?
I did.
Once in a while, maybe once in a series.
What made you laugh last?
I'm trying to think.
Remember?
I just was watching a show, and I don't even remember what I was watching, but it made me laugh. But
I can tell you exactly. The whole family laughed. We LOL'd together. We were watching The Middle, and they were talking about the Flintstones car.
That made me laugh, too.
I mean, like, I was guffawing.
Right, that was very funny.
Go ahead.
You know what doesn't make me laugh anymore?
What?
Modern Family.
Yeah, that show jumped a shark, in my opinion, years ago.
Yeah, I'm just not laughing at anything on it anymore.
Not
but The Mick, I crack up at The
Oh,
Mick.
My God, that is the funniest show ever.
I love The Mick.
Caitlin Olsen is honestly one of the funniest.
She is.
She's very talented.
I say one of the funniest females ever, and my son Dylan goes, why do you have to say female?
Right, but say white female.
No.
That's better.
But
say former child star female.
Yeah, that's even better.
She's just so funny. She reminds
say
you of me.
Irish
yeah,
female.
She does.
Oh,
just,
that's the biggest compliment.
Just
she's
her characteristics
so mean.
In the way. Well, not in that way, but just the quirky things she does. It's just funny.
Maybe that's why I like her.
All right. So here's what I noticed with sitcoms, and it's Roseanne that made me realize this, because I'm thinking, boy, I really did like that first episode, and I hope it wasn't just the nostalgia factor of seeing them all together again. I was thinking, much like Will and Grace, because they did a really good job of picking up where they left off. And all right, so I was going, but it's this setup punchline. It's how I keep saying contrived to you.
Yes.
I go, the show just seems so contrived. Like they just show you something and you know, well, they're only showing me this because then John Goodman is going to make fun of it or Roseanne's going to rip it. You know, that's how it is. Set up punchline all the time. And then I thought, and then there's shows like Baskets where they play the moment for the realism of the moment. You know, it's absurd realism, but it's still real. It's not set up punchline. It's here's a situation that you may or may not be familiar with. Let's watch it play out.
First of all, thank you a million for turning me on to that show.
Oh, sure.
I've turned my whole family on to it.
Yeah.
It is brilliant.
Yeah, that for people who don't know, that's the Zach Galifianakis show.
And Louis
where
Anderson.
He and his twin, and Louis Anderson plays their mom.
Christine Baskets.
Not their dad, but their mom.
Chap.
And, but do you know what I mean?
I can do a good impression of him. Dale.
Do you know what I mean, though, where... That plays out as a story. It's not the
it's
traditional
different.
Setup. I know it is.
And if Roseanne did that, we wouldn't like Roseanne. I'm telling you, we are used to the throwback to what it was.
Right.
And it is continuing as what it was.
Yeah, I guess.
Baskets, I love, and I love in a different way. I mean, Portlandia can be like that, too. That's
yeah.
just stupid. And I love it.
Do you watch Veep at all?
No.
All right, that's another one where... It's like it's not your traditional sitcom because they're playing out a story and then all the funny extras that happen along the way, that's where you're laughing. And not that there's not places for both, but I'm just finding that where I am now in my life, I'm enjoying the more realistic ones. I'm right here, Wendy. I'm right next to you. You didn't see me over here? So
I get it.
I'm not giving up on Roseanne's show. But it's just disturbing how set up punchline-y it is.
I found myself telling Jimmy Mack, we like the show very much, and I said, I hope it doesn't start to disappoint me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, some strong episodes to start a reboot or a revival, as they're calling it.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't fizzle.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, like there are shows, like I don't worry about Baskets fizzling.
Right.
That's going to keep going.
Right.
But these reboots and revivals are risky.
Yeah.
They're tugging on your nostalgic strings.
Pant leg. Your nostalgic pant leg. Later on, when Kurt Wagner joins us from TVShowPatrol.com, we will tell you about another huge hit of Days Gone By that is resurging. So that's going to come up. And then Mike O'Brien, speaking about comedy, he's one of the creators of AP Bio, very funny new show, and a writer for Saturday Night Live. He'll be joining us.
I truly love that AP Bio show. And if you like Always Sunny in Philadelphia, which I do, Glenn Howerton, who plays Dennis on Always Sunny, is just the biggest jerk in the world.
He's a teacher that doesn't seem to want to be there, right?
Yeah, he's a very smart guy who... I'm not good at describing things, but he was a Harvard professor who fell on some bad times, so he's now just working at this school to fill time. And he's bitter, and he's pretty funny in this.
All right, so Mike O'Brien, one of the creators of that show, AP Bio, will join us at 11:35. A lot of stuff coming your way. Stick around. It's Bill Leffin. It's Wendy Snyder on WGN. Is your belt too tight? What's going on with you?
No, my skull is too tight.
Is your skull too tight? Did you hear about this woman in Nevada? She was scheduled to sing the national anthem at a minor league baseball game, a Reno Aces baseball game, but she opted out for a very peculiar reason. Do you know this story at all?
No.
All right. A Nevada woman says she is declining to sing the national anthem before a Reno Aces baseball game because she cannot bring her gun to the game. Very upsetting. You want to have the gun ready while you're singing the national anthem, and then if people boo, you let them know that you're not appreciating that. You came to sing a song. Alicia Walcott penned an open letter to the Reno Gazette Journal detailing why she won't accept an invitation to sing the anthem before a game later this year. Guns have been banned at Greater Nevada Fields since the Reno Aces started playing there back in 2009, according to the team's president. Walcott's reasoning stems from her belief in the Second Amendment and the different security practices at Arizona Diamondbacks' AAA affiliate is using to the stadium's entry points. She says she noticed them while attempting to attend Saturday's game with her husband. Here's what she says. My husband and I had tickets to the game against Fresno this past Saturday. To say I was excited would be an understatement. I am an avid baseball lover and a longtime fan of the Reno Aces. I have attended every season and always have a wonderful experience. I was thrilled to be attending the game during opening weekend. Upon our arrival at the ballpark, we noticed one major change. You are now subjecting the guests to metal detection before entering the stadium. In years past, you have simply required a bag check and nothing more.
I'm sorry, but I hate her. I'm sorry.
Do you hate her?
I do.
I am boiling here. Yeah. Listen, I don't care if she wants to carry a gun. That's her business.
Right.
But, you know, there are people that shouldn't have guns that I don't want them to have when I'm at a ball game.
Right. Things and can get pretty heated.
Who gives a rat's...
Careful.
But if she sings, so ask the next person on the list. Bye-bye, see you,
move along. Somebody else who will sing the song, I promise you. They'll find somebody. But you've been to sports contests. You've been to baseball games. You've been to hockey games.
I walk through the metal detector, and that's why. You're right. It gets heated.
Right.
You know, people can... I've gotten in fights with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not physical, but, you know...
Mental breakdowns.
No, I've said some things, and if there's, you know, if they had a gun, I'd be dead.
Think about that.
I know.
I can't tell you. Over the years, I can't even begin to guess to tell you how many sporting events I've attended. And I've sat next to guys or in back of guys or in front of guys that just duke it out. And
that
I think
wasn't
to myself,
a guy. That was me.
Was that you?
You were sitting behind me. But you're right.
I've seen so many temperatures rise.
And tempers flare.
And tempers flare. When temperatures rise, tempers flare. I'll give you the extended five-day outlook in just
a
little bit, Wendy.
Weather's fun.
The weather's fun. It's funny and fun. So, no, you don't want the people attending a sporting event to all be packing heat?
No.
Not even at a heat game?
No.
No one should have heat.
So I hate her. I don't care.
Right.
If you're a baseball fan, you know what? I want to be on jury duty, and I had to take the mace out of my purse.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did it.
Mm-hmm.
If I didn't, then I don't get to be a juror.
You must follow the rules.
Well, that's it.
That's it. I've been, you know, I think the Blackhawks, I think locally, were probably the first team to put the metal detectors in. I'm trying to remember if I went through any metal detectors anywhere before a Blackhawks game, but I think they were the first. So you got a lot of people grumbling in line. Oh, can you believe this? You got to wait a few extra minutes. And
well,
I kept
that's because
myself,
it's cold outside. Yeah,
I know.
Right.
I know.
No one grumbles anymore, you guys.
But I'm so fine with it.
Yeah.
Take a few extra minutes. Make it a safer environment. That's fine.
I have a blast when I go through it because I say, this was years ago, I said, I have a knee replacement, and they look at me like, right, because I don't look old enough.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't been through since I've had both replaced, so I can't wait to see. Because they'll wand me right by, let's see if she really has a replacement.
Every alarm's going to go off, and the lights behind the goals are going to go off when you go through. People are going to think Patrick Sharp has scored an early goal. The game isn't scheduled to start for 10 minutes. What's going on?
Wendy. Wendy's here.
It's only Wendy. It's okay. A Nevada woman, like I said, refusing to sing the national anthem at the Reno Aces game. Why? Because they won't let her bring a gun into the stadium. Now, would she hold it during the national anthem? That's ridiculous,
well,
right?
Well, it would be on her person.
It would be, wouldn't it? Walcott's column was tweeted by the NRA, the National Rifle Association's Twitter account, on Thursday afternoon. She then goes on to say in an open letter that her inability to carry a gun to the ballpark is a denial of her constitutional rights and that she refuses to attend a game after realizing that her gun would be discovered by stadium security.
All right, who's losing her here? She is, because she loves baseball and yet is not going to the game. She agreed to sing the national anthem. Now she doesn't get to.
Right.
So who's losing here?
I don't care.
Then don't come.
Right.
She's not losing. She wants the attention.
Oh. She's getting the attention. Here's what she writes. She further writes, "The goal is to keep your guests safe." She's telling the minor league baseball stadium this. "As it is very clear, you are searching for weapons, but by taking away their rights to self-protection, all you have done is made them more vulnerable to an attack."
Listen, I don't want her protecting me if I'm at a game. She just does not seem like a rational human being.
I don't think she does. "You have fallen prey to the absurd idea that American citizens need only trust their government for protection. This is indeed a lie and a blatant disregard for our constitutional rights."
Then don't go to the game.
That's it.
Who cares?
That's what it comes down to.
Zip it. Steve,
I've never seen you so worked up, Wendy.
Well, it just bothers me now. If you don't want to adhere to rules, then you don't get to go.
Right.
Again, who loses here? Steve, I can't take it anymore.
I agree with you, Wendy. The thing you should worry about is if they decide to change it just because she's making this big stink.
That's a good point.
This is their rule. I am so tired of people telling companies how they have to do this, who they have to appease. You know, like, okay, this is my company, my business. I should be able to run it the way I want to an extent. And if you don't like it, then you don't use my company.
Yeah.
Okay? This is the rules. And if you don't like it, then you go somewhere else. Nobody cares that you're complaining about it. Okay? Then don't go to it.
And if you want to lose business, you know, Steve, you're talking about running your company how you want to. You have to understand then that you may lose business because of it. And you're,
that's right.
If you're cool with it, then it's your business.
Right. But if she ends up going to sing because she put this stink up, that would be terrible. Nobody should ever go to another the baseball game if they did that. I mean, that would be just because people complain and say, well, I'm going to sue them or whatever. They all fold up. No. This is how it's supposed to be. This is how we want it. It's our business. If you don't like it, too bad. Don't come.
Amen.
Thank you, Steve. Have a good weekend.
I am riled up about this, Steve, because this world is getting crazier every day, and I get more mad at people that are demanding their own way.
It's you think, if given the option, even people who are gun owners,
yes,
responsible gun owners, if you said you have the choice of attending a major sporting event, well, this is a minor sporting event, it's a minor league team, but let's say the White Sox said, it's up to you. Do you want everybody who comes to the stadium the chance to bring a weapon, a gun in to the stadium or not? Or nobody gets to bring a gun in? Don't you think most people will go, yeah, I think we should all not have guns.
I'll leave it in the car.
Game. Yeah, yeah.
Which, that's not a safe place either.
Right. Leave it at home.
Yeah, if you know you can't bring it, then don't make a point and make a big deal when you're walking in and they won't let you in because you have a gun.
Right.
There are rules. I just don't get it anymore. I really don't. I try to follow the rules because
right.
I don't want to get in trouble.
Right.
That's really it. I don't want to get arrested. I would not fare well in prison.
Yeah.
People would hate me.
You're cutting yourself short. I think you do very well. Don't you think, Steve?
I think you would excel.
Yeah, you do great in prison.
I think in the craft room, I think you could be a leader.
You'd be great
if
in the craft room.
If they'd give me a chance to teach them crafts, but see, I come across as like a tough broad, but I'm really not.
Right.
I would cower.
It'd be the whole arc of the story when you come in tough and
there'd be so much great.
I don't want a story. I want to survive.
At the end of the movie, we'd have paper flowers.
Everybody would have them.
It'd be beautiful.
It's my life. It's not a movie. I'd like to survive. That's why I try to stay away. Plus, I'd hate the food.
Oh, the food's awful at a prison.
You could make the food better, I bet.
Although I could start smoking again, couldn't I?
Yeah. Maybe that as a trade.
You'd have to plant a garden.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. No.
A tobacco garden.
Can I sleep in?
Yeah.
I think they get me up early.
Yeah, they have an early call.
All right, forget it.
We'll take a quick break and then we'll stop.
You had me for a minute.
An early call, like it's a performance.
More after this, it's Phil and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and we have some tickets to give away, and I needed to do a little research on this because I didn't know exactly what this was.
Uh-huh.
With a 1,500-year tradition, the Sistine Chapel Choir brings the oldest and most respected active choir in the world to America for the first time ever.
Wow.
There was a rare opportunity not only to enjoy Renaissance polyphony and Gregorian chant and to hear the same choir that sings at papal masses, but
Steve,
also...
Steve, I lost my bet with you. Wendy did say the word polyphony on
today's
show.
I did not think she'd do it.
I wasn't sure, but she did
it. She got through it.
Yep, polyphony.
This is the same choir that sings at papal masses, and also you can see the living embodiment of renewal and beauty. At least that's according to Matthew Bunsen from the National Catholic Register.
I trust Matthew Bunsen.
I love that music.
Yeah. Oh, do you? Are you a fan?
I do like that.
I do too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know much about it, but
it's beautiful.
Yeah.
Soothing.
It makes me cry.
Does it really?
To say it. It makes me cry.
That's why I like it. Actually, it makes Wendy cry.
It touches me. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love choir music. Well,
I've seen them sing with Cardi B sometimes.
Did she say choir music?
Yeah. Yes. So we're giving away tickets? People can win tickets from us?
Not to either of you. You guys are
disqualified. Where is this, really? I want to know.
This is the Pope's personal choir.
Whoa.
That's big
impressive.
Time.
That looks good on a resume.
It's a chorus comprised of highly accomplished group of 20
do
professionals.
Here's the Pope. Do the early stuff.
All right, I'm moving from you when the lightning bolt comes.
Enough with the new album. I want to hear the early stuff.
The hits?
Yeah, the hits. Play the hits.
This
celebrity voice impersonated.
Oh, boy.
Would you just tell me where they're singing for Pope's sake?
Hang on. I want to read a little bit more about it as
they're
we learn together.
They're at the Windy City Winery.
Are they?
With Manhattan Transfer.
It's just...
No, the Manhattan that never performed at the winery.
It's not the Windy City Winery.
Oh.
Good golly, y'all. Oh. See, I almost said God, but now I'm nervous.
No, don't.
All right. Well, I'm done. Right. Here's what's going on.
I can see a white... You're not raising a white flag, but I see one. Where did the white flag come from?
You just make it... I'm trying to learn something new, and you guys are just irritated.
No, I want to know where they're singing. Where are they singing?
They'll be in Chicago.
We know that.
Their first ever performance...
Since they've been around since 1500.
They've never been to the U.S.?
Harry Crown Theater. Thank July you. 21st.
Was this a flashback? That's been closed for 20 years.
It is. I think it's gone. Are you sure it's Harry Crown?
Yes.
Yeah? All right.
All right, and then this is old copy because it was handed to me.
Is Yakov Smirnoff opening for them? That'd be quite a show.
Does it say Reed and Roy Leonard style?
You should see. Can you see her?
She gave the evil eye to
wow.
the...
Wow.
No, I don't care what you do. No. It's not closed, you idiots.
She just gave the evil eye to the camera
I'm
looking at. Yeah.
It is...
There's a whole scorched
The Airy Crown Theater is an entertainment venue named after Lithuanian immigrant Airy Crown. Did you know that?
No.
Well, maybe this is a joke.
I don't know.
He was the father of Henry Crown, the American industrialist and philanthropist. It's on Lakeshore Drive, and it's open.
Sure, the Crown family.
Yeah.
They're big here.
Okay, but who? What do you mean it's closed?
I thought it was closed too, Steve. Right. I gotta be honest.
Well, who looks like the two big dummies right about now?
Well, we came in knowing that. That's news to no one.
All right. If you can get through all this clutter and you'd like to go be touched and cry and feel and experience.
You're not actually touched,
no,
right?
No, let's be clear.
Okay.
All right.
Did you have an extra cup of coffee today, maybe?
It could be an issue.
We have a pair of tickets to the Sistine Chapel Choir's first ever performance in Chicago, the oldest active choir in the world. It's the Pope's Choir. They're coming from Rome. Boy, are their voices tired.
Wendy, have
they
some respect.
They perform at the Airy Crown Theater on July 21st. You can get your tickets starting this morning at 10 a.m. at Ticketmaster outlets. They have not sold out yet, from my understanding, but we have a pair. Look, the phones are going
Everybody
crazy.
Everybody wants these tickets.
What number caller should we look
caller
for?
Caller 16.
They're like 16.
Yeah, 16th Chapel.
312-981-7200. I hate you both.
I'm so glad I came to work today.
Caller 16 will walk away with a pair of tickets to...
Dance away. People will be dancing in the streets, Wendy. This is big. They've been together since 1500.
I'm
they've
done.
Never once been to Chicago. Not Ravinia, not the Airy Crown, nowhere.
Did you know the Airy Crown Theater was named after a Lithuanian immigrant?
Yeah.
I didn't.
Royal Crown. I knew that. Everyone
what is
knows
wrong
that.
With you two? We're on
that.
The radio.
This show's on? Are you sure? I would not put this on the air.
This is going to be, we're going to have a say crosstalk today, just so you know.
Just so you know.
Do we have a winner? Because I'd like to talk to this person. Line one. Hi.
Hello.
What is your name?
Sarah.
Hey, Sarah, where are you calling from?
Rockford.
I apologize for Bill Leff and Steve Bertrand's behavior.
That's hurtful.
I know. No, I think it sounds awesome.
She has to answer a question in Lithuanian, right?
Right.
No. You're going to go see the Sistine Chapel Choir's first ever performance here in Chicago. I hope you make the trip. It's July 21st. Put it on your calendar at the Airy Crown Theater, which is not closed, just so you know.
So it would be a Gregorian calendar, right?
Yes. Yes. And Sarah,
thank you. I'm so excited.
Don't be yelling Freebird during the show. That's disrespectful, Sarah.
I definitely will not do that.
Good, good. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right, hang on. We'll get all your details. What is wrong with the two of you today?
Honestly, I would love to see that show.
Well, too bad. I'm going to tell management you don't get tickets and to charge you triple.
Maybe it's you. Bill and I are just having a chit-chat.
All right, we must take a break. Are you still going to be here when we come back?
Yeah, I'll be here.
All right, more show ahead. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. We're at 312-981-7200 if you'd like to join in, if you have any questions or comments. I found this, Wendy, and I know you'll enjoy this because I know how much you enjoy music.
We don't have time now, though.
Should we not do this?
I'm bummed.
Is it bad? Should we start it and see where it goes?
Yeah, but can I give you a special update?
Yeah.
From the Hollywood Reporter, I'm getting an alert that Will Ferrell has been hospitalized after a serious car accident.
Oh, no.
This, according to the Hollywood Reporter, this came across 4 minutes ago.
Oh, no. That's so horrible.
I just wanted to get that out there.
I love Will Ferrell.
I do, too.
I hope he's okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll monitor that story closely. And if there's any changes, we will certainly keep you up to date on that. Is it better to talk about, we've got some texts about, we were, of course, kidding earlier, Steve and I, this was strictly a joke, and saying how well you would do in prison. I think of all the people who work here at WGN, for some reason, you, Wendy, I think would thrive in prison. I'm not saying I hope you go to prison, but if you did go there, I think you'd do pretty well. Way better than me. Way better. I'm too pretty for prison.
Okay, A, you're not.
Thank you.
Two, you don't play well with others.
No.
So you wouldn't fare well at all.
I would request my own, I would go, could I get my own room, please? I need solitary.
I don't think you'd want solitary because you're naked and in the dark. And I know sometimes you get into that, but this is all the time. Somebody
but
said,
at least I would know it would just be me in the room. There wouldn't be anybody else in there.
Someone says that in Illinois prisons, no smoking in Illinois prisons anymore.
What?
How do they get by?
I can't imagine that's true.
What else is there to do?
It's just smoke and lift weights. That's it. That's why I think you do well in prison.
You can watch TV, can't you?
Yeah, they have like a communal, there's always a TV.
On the same show.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
Yep.
It's behind a cage because if you get mad at something, you you know, punch at the TV.
And they're always watching This Is Us
and reading National Geographic.
Yep,
I'm sure they're watching Springer and Povich.
I swear, I promise you, those are the number one and two shows in any prison: Maury Povich and Springer.
Yeah, I don't know if I can't believe they. I mean, I guess you can't smoke anywhere in Illinois inside.
But they must have. They must allow them certain times a day to go out in the prison yard and enjoy a cigarette, I would imagine, because I've heard people on the inside say that's all they have to live for.
Who do you know on the inside?
My friend Ronnie J.
You're such
he
a
says,
liar.
If we didn't have cigarettes, we'd go crazy. That's all we have to live for, and that's their bartering system. Everything's.
I don't think that's like that anymore.
No, what do they use for barter now?
Money?
Oh, they have money in prison? I didn't realize you're allowed to carry cash.
Well, I know about prison is from...
Put that on my debit card. PayPal me. Somebody go, hey, PayPal me.
I bet it's like that. Orange is the new black. That's And they had accounts. Like, family members would put money into their account. So if they wanted a cup of noodles...
Oh, right.
They would go to the commissary and say, take this off my account. And they'd say, you're out of money.
But I don't think that system is used inter-prison. Like, I don't think one prisoner could say to another prisoner, hey, you owe me $11, put it on my tab. I don't think.
Well, how do you know? What did Ronnie J. tell you?
He wouldn't talk about it. He said it's too painful and he wouldn't talk about it.
See, I would, if I could get cigarettes, what would I do for a cigarette? I don't smoke anymore, but I got to tell you, I've been thinking about it.
Oh, don't.
I'm not going back to it because I'll be honest with you, it's really nice to have the monkey off my back.
Oh, I didn't know you had that. So
you're jealous of that.
I would love to have a monkey on
but
my
I
back.
Would offer up maybe foot massages for a cigarette.
Oh, that would be popular in prison. Who wants a foot massage?
Two smokes for 2 feet.
You could have a
one
little
smoke
cart
per foot.
You walk around a cart up from down the
polish
hallway.
Extra.
Yeah, boy, that's a good money making scheme.
cigarette making scheme.
Yeah, but I guarantee you they must allow them X amount of minutes per day to go outside and smoke because these guys, they would just go crazy.
Well, that's my fear is if, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't let a smoker smoke.
Yeah. They'll find something out. They need something else. Did you remember the study? I don't know if we talked about this on air, but they talked about how it's very important to have proper colors in prison, that certain colors irritate or calm you down when you're in a prison. So they've done extensive studies to find which colors are the most soothing to prisoners so that they don't, you know, they don't wail on each other in jail.
I'm sure that to be is true. I think red is something that agitates.
Yeah.
Don't they have that in restaurants a lot so you very quickly eat and get out?
I know that...
Like in fast food places?
Yeah, the colors... Well, McDonald's is the best at this because their colors are red and yellow, but they did the study when they were first designing their whole scheme that red and yellow were the most conducive to their business, that it got people in, it got people out. I don't know why red or yellow... Red is stop, right? That wouldn't make you go faster. That would make you just sit there longer.
Yeah, but it invigorates. Like, look at the red that they say a bull will charge towards, although haven't we heard that bulls can't see color?
Right, yeah.
So for all these years?
Yeah.
Everyone's lied to us.
You're just figuring that out now?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I trust everyone, man, and that's my problem.
No. Don't.
That's why I wouldn't do well in prison.
No, you can't trust everyone in prison. You just find the two or three people that seem to be the most honest and glom on to them. Not everybody.
I'm too trusting to be in prison.
You would tell that to the judge, right, as you were being sentenced.
And
sir or madam, I understand that what I've done is horrible.
But here's the
deal. But you got to know this about me before you send me to Sing Sing.
I can't sing.
Right. Ironically. Do you have a place called Hum Hum or Whistle Whistle? Because I do far better there.
All right. Now, TMZ is indicating that Will Ferrell was released from the hospital last night. Come on, WGN, catch up.
Oh.
Or catch up. I don't know why I said catch.
Yeah.
All I can tell you is the news update that I got that said
from
the Hollywood Reporter,
though.
Yes.
Yeah.
That he was conscious and speaking and went into an ambulance. So,
wow.
But a serious accident, and that's all I have.
I hope he's all right. That would be horrible.
Yeah, there's a picture of him on the phone as he's being put in the ambulance. So,
it doesn't say who was at fault in the accident. Not that that matters.
Well,
I'm just curious.
They're not going to reveal that just yet.
No. He was in a chauffeur-driven SUV.
Oh.
So he was not driving.
Tracy Morgan. I always think of him, poor Tracy, because he was in a chauffeured thing as well.
Yeah.
Wasn't he an SUV
I
type
think
of thing?
So. I'm pretty sure he was, yeah. Yeah. All right. So we will, as I mentioned earlier, we will monitor that story. And if there's any changes, we will certainly let you know. In a little while. Oh, I know we didn't get to the thing about the songs. We were going to do these... this song piece. I don't know that we'll have time today. Should we wait till Monday or Tuesday for this?
I don't know. I want to do it someday.
All right. I'll put this.
Can we
away
get
for...
another hour?
No.
At noon?
No. Well, we have the bonus hour. Maybe we'll do it there. Is that enticing to people? Will that make them come on? I don't want to take away from Steve's audience, you know.
Why not?
For the Wintrust Business Lunch.
I say take them all.
All right. All right. We'll see what we'll
take
see.
Take them all.
All right, Mary, you had a friend in prison. Can you smoke in prison or not?
Not at all. Nobody can.
Do they let them go outside to have a ciggy butt?
Well, they could go outside.
That has
no,
a different meaning in prison, by the way.
That'd be a real flaw in the system. We
Mary, I couldn't hear you because the two boys interrupted you.
We said if you go out for a smoke, you've got to come back.
Right. Come on, fellas, we made a deal.
Can you let Mary talk?
Yeah, go on, Mary.
Yeah, no smoking at all.
Oh, that's
and
anywhere.
That's is that a new thing, or has that been a while since they've had that rule?
It's been maybe 5-6 years.
Yeah. What about vaping?
At least. I don't know when it started, but no smoking whatsoever anywhere.
Inside or outside?
Correct.
Wow.
That's tough, man. They probably invest in tons of nicotine patches.
Right. What about Big League Chew?
I don't know what they did, but it could have been cold turkey. But from what I was told about the way that things work, I doubt if they invested in the patches.
Wow. All right. Well
thanks.
Thank you, Mary.
Thanks for that information. Cold turkey is the only thing you get in prison. They don't warm it up for
right.
you.
Yeah.
We appreciate it, Mary.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. We've got some news for you, and then there's more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
That's what I do. I say, woo, when I know Kurt Wagner's going to
yeah.
be in.
He brings that sort of emotion out. Kurt Wagner is the star over at TVShowPatrol.com. If you like your TV, visit TVShowPatrol.com. How are you, Kurt? It's been a few weeks since we've
it
seen
has.
You.
It has.
We
missed
you tremendously. They just announced the new cast for Dancing with the Stars, and I'm not exaggerating. they list all of them. Are there 16 of them? And I know four. I know who four of the stars are out of the 16.
I only care about one.
Oh, which one is that?
Is it the first one?
The former Olympian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is the all athletes edition of Dancing with the Stars.
Now, why would they do it that way?
Because they've always had like one or two, maybe three athletes per season.
Right.
And this time they just decided, hey, let's just do all athletes.
And it's a quick season, correct?
I think so. Yeah, it starts April 30th, so the only thing I know.
Less episodes than in other years. But you would think, like, for somebody who's not a huge fan of sports, that would be a turnoff. Why wouldn't they go a little more diversified?
Maybe they feel there's enough people in here.
All right, well, Mary's the one who watches it all the time. I have never seen a lick of it, but will this make you watch more or less that they're all athletes? Okay, thank you, Mary.
Nope. Mary refuses to comment. You can talk to her lawyer, Wendy.
But I don't. I think you're just. I don't know that you care so much about their occupation. You care about just watching someone dance, right?
Well, come on. What did you just get done saying?
I just want to see Tanya Harding.
Exactly. So Tanya Harding, I would say, is the biggest. Oh, I'm going to see what she does.
She was a great ice skater, although in a weird way, not as graceful maybe as some other people.
She was very athletic.
Yes,
and very. I think she was the first one to land the triple.
Yes,
one of the triple ones in competition.
Yes, she was a triple.
And
something.
A long time before the next person did, I think too.
Yeah,
but then she wasn't able to ever do it again.
Wendy did an eighth of a Lutz before the show. Just a 1/8 of a Lutz. It wasn't impressive. I thought I was expecting a lot more.
I hopped.
Thank God you said Lutz. That's all I got.
I hopped over the step over.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. So she's one of the big names, Tanya Harding.
Yeah.
And I think one of the other big names is Adam Rippon from the last Olympics.
Right. Right.
Right? That's a pretty big name.
The ice skater. Yeah. And then Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. All right.
It's so, a triple axle, by the way.
A triple axle.
Okay.
What's the difference again, Wendy? I can never remember between the Lutz and the axle.
I think it's the way they land.
Is that what it is?
I think so. Or the way they take off. Or the way they spin.
Okay. Or we don't know, basically.
Could you do a triple klutz? Is that a possibility?
I would like to see somebody do that.
All right. So
I could probably only swing it.
I know who Adam Rippon is. I know who Tanya Harding is. I know, of course, who Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is. And the other one I know is Johnny Damon. Former center fielder for the Boston Red Sox, but the other ones, I have no idea who they are. Can you help me with this?
Well, I can try.
All right. Jenna Johnson.
Yes, she's a dance. She's a.
She can't be a dancer because that'd be an unfair advantage.
Well, she will be a dancer now.
Right.
Hold on, let me see.
Jenna Johnson.
Who's Jenna Johnson?
Jenna Johnson is the professional dancer. She's dancing with Adam Rippon.
Oh, I see.
The second set of names there.
You got a little.
All right.
Yeah, Jenny Finch is softball, right?
Yes, she's softball.
Oh, no, softball from here. Isn't she from the Chicago metro area?
Oh, that's right. She is.
She's got a new name, though. It's Jenny Finch Daigle.
Well, here's an idea. Maybe she got married.
All right. Softball players don't get married.
So here we go. All right. Arika Ogunbowale.
Who?
Arika Ogunbowale.
She's a basketball player.
Basketball player.
How do you know this, Mary?
Because they talked about it this morning.
But I'm a huge Dancing with the Stars freak.
Now, are you going to watch any more or any less because they're all athletes? Does it matter to you?
This is the best part, though. It's only on for 4 weeks this time. They've shortened it, but I have a feeling it's going to be on like 4 hours a night now.
It's usually on two times a week, right?
Yeah, it's usually 2 times a week. I just hope they don't make it more hours.
did they shorten it because they think maybe it being all athletes, it won't go the distance like it has in the past? Is that why?
Well, they should have the stamina, you would think.
Right.
Maybe they're busy retired athletes or not athletes.
Who is Chris Mazzer?
Mazder?
He's a luger.
Luger from the 1980 Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Right. No, wait.
I don't even know how to say it. It's Mazdzer, so it's like Mazder.
Mazder. Jamie Anderson, who's that?
First top female snowboarder.
Okay. Who is Josh Norman?
Josh Norman.
Norm!
He's the quarterback.
He's the NFL cornerback.
The Redskins. Isn't he a cornerback for the Redskins, I want to say?
And Mirai Nagasu. Who is that?
I think another...
It's Mirai, like the corn.
Oh,
that's
it is?
Mirai.
It's a girl figure skater.
Yeah, okay. It's another
from this
skater.
Last Olympics?
There's three figure skaters. It's a little crazy.
Which is kind of weird because figure skating and dancing is kind of
similar.
It's like when the gymnasts perform. Yeah. They always do well.
Yeah, right.
Mary, are you looking forward to this any more or less than other years because it's all athletes?
I don't know. About the same. Not, you know, it's just getting kind of drab, actually.
Are you going to sneak in and put a bat in Tonya Harding's dressing room?
She's going to dance with a cane and then whack her partner with it. That's what she's going to do.
She's not going to whack her own partner. She's going to get somebody else.
She's dancing with one of the nicest guys, is Sasha. He's a real nice guy, too. Yeah. So she better be nice to Sasha.
Maybe that's to even everything out.
But don't you think people want to see her succeed despite everything that's happened in the past?
Maybe.
No.
When she started making the rounds for this movie,
well,
every
I think
time
they
she showed
keep
up,
her
people
on a long
applauded.
Time, though.
People love her.
Yeah, I mean, she did get a little... They had her at the Golden Globes for the I, Tonya movie, you know, yeah. She was one of the guests there and everything. Although I still don't think that movie necessarily showed her in a great light.
No. No.
I felt sorry for her after seeing that movie.
Yeah, because of her mother.
They should mostly because of her mother.
Her mom should be on Dancing with the Stars.
I feel like the best mom of the world after watching her. In fact, I watched it with my 18-year-old and said, Michael, I could be way worse.
Yeah.
See?
You have Tonya Harding's mom.
Well, she's got to be dead. I mean, she was on
action. She's
no,
she's
not. I don't think
you're
she
kidding
is because
me.
I remember the lead up to that movie was how they couldn't find her the movie. Because the producers of the movie and the writers interviewed everyone involved, except they couldn't find Tonya Harding's mom.
Wow.
And Michelle wants to jump in. Hi, Michelle.
Hello. Love you guys.
Thanks, Michelle.
I just wanted to say that I think two things. The reason why they're shortening it and making it all athletes is because there's no Max, Val, or PETA, because they're off doing their own tour. So I think they know they're not going to have the votes and the viewership, maybe.
Oh. Max, Val, and those are all... They're dancers on the show.
And there's no Derek Huff either.
Where did he go?
No Derek.
Touring somewhere.
They're all busy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, you could be right on that. Thank you so much,
Michelle. I bet she is.
Yep.
We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break and then more television. This segment with Kurt Wagner is sponsored by WOW Internet TV Phone. Stick around for the WOW moment of the week. That's coming up in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
We're here with Kurt Wagner from TVShowPatrol.com. Is there someplace we can read you today?
Oh, yeah. In the Sun-Times, Chicago Sun-Times. You've heard of it.
We've heard of the Chicago Sun-Times, sure.
It's online and it's in print.
Yeah.
Yeah, and...
what's your story there?
The story, I talked to the director, writer, and producer of this show called Aerial Cities, and it is a spinoff of another series called Aerial America, and in that one, they went around to each state and filmed the state and things happening in the state
via drone?
From the air. No, in a helicopter.
Really?
And so this one, they're doing the same thing, but they're getting specific on specific cities. So the Aerial City Chicago 24 is this Sunday on Smithsonian Channel, and it is a... they spent 20... Well, it's a 24-hour look at Chicago from the air. So
one location? Or
no,
they're moving
they
all over the
place.
They fly
around Chicago, yeah.
I wonder if Bill Murray is shown waving somewhere.
Well, maybe.
No, Billy Corgan.
I didn't see them.
Maybe.
But, it's hard to... One of the things he said was that, you know, the show's really cool in that it shows all these things, and maybe we've seen some of them, you know, some of the, like, you know, the high rise, the skyline from the lake and stuff like that. But then they always find like these interesting other things.
Yeah.
And the show's just full of facts. They talk about the Great Fire. They talk about the sports teams. You know, they talk about a lot of that stuff. They had this really cool thing, which I didn't know, was that the Hancock is built in a certain way that only real live humans can wash the windows.
What? I don't understand that. What
because
do you mean
on the inside?
That?
No, on the outside. So that's why they always had that scaffold thing going down, and those two guys are washing the windows.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And
but isn't that how all buildings are?
Not all of them.
No,
because like the Willis Tower is built so that a robot can come out of this little garage on top of the roof, and the robot goes down and washes the windows because that's a flat surface. Where the John Hancock, the way it's built, the support is on the outside, so all that framework is holding the building up. And, and so the windows sit inside of that, so you can't have this robot do it.
Oh.
So you had to have real live
humans.
That's
really cool.
Yeah, and so they filmed these two guys cleaning it, and I wanted to get you their names, just because I feel, you know, they're daredevil window cleaners.
They couldn't pay me enough money
Felipe
in the
Berman
world.
and Efren Salas are the two guys that they filmed that they'll see in there. Yeah. And so they have all these facts and figures and stats and all that stuff. But he said the most difficult thing is to humanize it. And so he tries to find people that are interesting. So he has those two guys. And then he also filmed, does a whole segment on the L system, the train system. Uh-huh. And so he filmed this CTA operator, Lachelle Jenkins. And he said it was really hard to see her face while she's standing outside.
Sure.
You know, her head's outside the engine.
Yeah.
Room or whatever, and driving the train.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to show that. And then he shows these two 80-something-year-old twin sisters who swim in Lake Michigan, have done it since they were 12 years old, every day that both their health and weather permits. They do a 2-mile swim in Lake Michigan.
My God.
And their names are Jenny and Julia Papilla.
Uh-huh.
It's Italian. I don't know. But so he films them from above. They're filmed from above swimming. And he said, well, I didn't get to meet him because I'm always just in the air. But the producers did. But they find out all this interesting stuff. So they have this sort of game plan when they come here to film. And then he said things happen where they find things just because they're in there. Like they went to refuel in Gary, and they came across, they flew over this huge, what seemed like a huge auto dealership with just hundreds and thousands of cars, right? And he found out later that it's the place where, remember when Volkswagen had the whole cheating with the diesel engines, cheating thing?
Yeah.
It's all the cars Volkswagen had to buy back in this area.
And they keep them all in
there. They keep them in part of the Gary Chicago International Airport.
Oh.
And so from the ground, I've seen that story in the papers here, and from the ground it looks like you just see cars, but you don't see them in the way that you do from the air, which is this giant car park, basically, is what it looks like.
So the show, Kurt, is called Aerial Cities, and this focuses on Chicago.
Yeah, I have to see this.
The Sundays Chicago
on the Smithsonian
and they're
channel.
Doing six different cities. This is the right. second week of it. Last week they did Las Vegas.
All right, before we get to
who wants to see that from above,
we want to see Chicago, Kurt. We live there. All right, before we get to the wow moment of the week, Roseanne has been a big hit, and other shows, X-Files was a hit, and Will and Grace is a hit. So now they're all looking at old shows and what they can bring back, and it looks like Mad About You is coming back with Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt.
So excited.
Read Helen Hunt an interview with her the other day saying that she and Paul Reiser are keeping in close contact, and they're trying to figure out what would happen. But now here's the rub. And in the last episode of Mad About You, much like what happened in Will and Grace and Roseanne, they did a flash forward to what their lives would be like 20 years from now. And they said, we're afraid that we've already shown that now this new storyline would ruin that. But they changed the storyline in Will and Grace and in Roseanne, and nobody seemed to care.
Right.
You know, so you can do that, can't you?
You can totally
poetic
do that.
License.
Yeah. Well, right. Roseanne, didn't they just pretend he was dreaming? At the beginning of the first episode, he woke up.
It right. worked.
Yeah. yeah. Will and Grace, I think they just ignored it.
they addressed it in a joke, kind of a little bit, but just, you know, just went their own way.
Right.
You know,
right.
So,
I mean, you know, it's TV. They can always do that.
Yeah. We'll buy into anything, won't we?
Right.
What is
especially if it was one of your favorite shows.
Right. All right. What is this week's wow moment of the week?
Lost in Space.
Coming back.
It's a new one. A new version of the 1965 show.
Yeah.
Irwin Allen.
Yeah, he was the original producer.
And warning, Will Robinson.
Yeah.
Danger.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. You're right.
It is. I know. Danger.
Yeah, work
Will
on my repertoire.
And so, yeah, it's about this family, the Robinson family, who...
That's not the robot that cleans the Willis Tower, is it?
No, it isn't.
All right.
What are you talking about, robot?
It looks totally different.
Thank goodness.
But the new one has the same sort of dynamic. It's a family, but it's, you remember how the original was kind of campy?
Yes, very much
this
so.
This one is not, this one is like a family drama, sort of. But the whole family can watch it. So it's sort of more serious, takes itself more seriously. There's funny moments in it and everything, but it's a real story. And I think it is set up so that the whole family can watch together. Because the Robinson family has the mom, the dad, two sisters, and the little brother.
Will Robinson.
Yeah, Will Robinson.
And it was Judy Robinson and Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, I don't think it was Smokey.
I'm pretty sure it is.
But in this one, their jobs are more specific. Like the one, I don't know if it's Judy or the other one, I cannot remember, but one of them is a doctor because they actually had to train to go do this. Like, in the original, you sort of can't tell that they have, what their individual jobs are.
Right.
So in this one, they all had to train because they had to be a worthwhile part of the team.
Wow, we'd be in trouble if we had to be a worthwhile part of the team.
Kicked out immediately.
Yeah, right.
And there's only two of us.
Right.
So,
well, what about Dr. Smith? Wasn't
There's a twist.
There's a twist.
Yeah, there's twist, Wendy.
I know the twist.
There's a big
twist. The whole setup,
it's in the hair, maybe. Yeah.
This whole setup is a bit different here in that they were on a bigger ship. Mm-hmm. In this one, in the original, it was just their ship taken off. In this one, there's a bigger ship. They're going to go colonize this planet a trillion, million, bajillion miles away. And something happens on the ship, which I will not talk about.
Okay.
And things go crazy. But in the original, Dr. Smith sort of went aboard and was going to do something to the
robot.
Created
trouble for the Robinson
family.
And
he ended up getting stuck on the spaceship. And in this one, it is Parker Posey plays Dr. Smith.
Did you see that coming? I didn't.
But is she really Dr. Smith?
Oh.
Does she have the crazy eyes like the original Mr. Dr. Smith had?
She's much more. I mean, he was great, right?
Who was the actor?
Jonathan Harris.
Jonathan Harris.
He was great.
Yeah. And he was like the king of camp.
Right. He was great.
She's sort of more menacing and more. You know,
dangerous.
She's way more dangerous. In fact, I interviewed Maxwell Jenkins, who's a local kid, 12-year-old, who
plays Will Robinson.
Will Robinson.
Yeah.
And I said, who's scarier, the robot or Parker Posey? And he said, well, both of the real people who play them are great, but I would say that Dr. Smith is the scariest.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, so Lost in Space, the new version of Lost in Space premieres.
Today. On Netflix. Today on Netflix, 10 episodes, I think.
Excellent.
I'll be watching it.
And you recommend it. You like it. Okay.
And if you... And my interview with Max is in the Sun Times, yesterday's Sun Times, and it's also online for that, too. And it's really interesting because he... Do you know what the Midnight Circus is in Chicago? Midnight Circus in the parks?
Yeah.
His parents own that and run it. He's the kid that you've seen on the Rolo Polo, I think it's called.
We talked to him.
And the juggler?
We talked to his dad. Because he said that he's going to be in the remake of Lost in Space. Yeah. I forgot all about that.
And Max played the young Will in Sense8, which also filmed part of its season here. He played the younger version of one of the characters.
Oh, good. He's having a good year.
Yeah.
Good couple of years. Kurt, thanks so much.
Yep.
We appreciate it. That's Kurt Wagner. His website, again, is tvshowpatrol.com. And on Twitter, it's @showpatrol. We'll be right back after this.
My name's Jack Griffin, and I don't want to be here. I'm living in my dead mom's apartment while teaching advanced placement biology. I am an award-winning philosophy scholar, but here's the deal. We're not going to do any biology in here.
Are you seriously never going to teach us biology at all?
Maybe Pablo Picasso can come in and teach driver's ed.
I got to tell you, I love this new show. It's called AP Bio, and the creator of AP Bio, a former Saturday Night Live writer, cast member, and former Chicagoan for a while, right? Michael O'Brien.
Hey.
Mike, how are you?
9 years I was in Chicago.
Boy, one more year and you could have won something. You came so close. We love a good Picasso joke, Mike, and that clip had a great Picasso joke in there.
I know. It's a little hack. It's a go-to thing. Everyone's joking about Picasso nowadays.
I have a love for Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Glenn Howerton is just a jerk. And when I heard he was going to be on this new show, I had to check it out. I absolutely love this show. Mike, couldn't wait to tell you that.
Thank you so much. I was so excited to hear that you guys wanted to talk and everything. You know, there's a little bit of a junket, or that, I don't know if that's the word, but that NBC has me going through, and for your listeners, at least, this is not part of it. This was a direct connection to hometown people, so I was excited.
Oh, good. We're very glad to hear this. All right, so talk about the inception of the show. How did it all come to be?
I wrote it my last year of writing for SNL as sort of a... I was hoping to move to LA and begin a new chapter of comedy stuff. And so I wrote this pilot that was, you know, just kind of, it was two things, really. It was messing with that opening monologue that you guys just played some of, which was just a monologue I was going to do live. And then it became the show. But I used to perform a lot based from my time in Chicago. and I was still doing that in New York, and also kind of playing with the idea of Midwest versus snobby East Coast. He's a East Coast hotshot who came from Toledo, and then he gets fired and has to go back and is dealing with that.
And he got fired for like a strange reason that we don't know much about, and I don't need to know much about it. I just know that I get to use the word nemesis when I was describing this show to my husband. It's like, well, he's out to get his nemesis, Miles. And they all looked at me and said, nemesis? And I said, yes.
Yeah, I don't remember if it got cut down or a lot or what, but he is, you know, presents his like, PhD thesis at Harvard, and they're just like, no, that's not good. And he wrestles one of the guys and loses an elderly Harvard guy. Right. And so he loses his job over that. He's a version of any of us with a little bit of a temper on our worst day.
Did you base this on a teacher that you may have had at some point, Mike?
Not really. No? I it really is, like I say, kind of a version of myself when I'm being immature. Because the nemesis and everything is actually a really nice guy that he just is doing well.
Yeah.
His nemesis is doing well in the exact same field, and he's the exact same age and gender as the lead. And so that's what makes him a nemesis. If, you know, anyone has ever been jealous of someone having a hot year as a morning DJ or whatnot.
And right.
If you're stalling out in your career for a minute, then you can get kind of immature about this person or that, even if they're really nice.
All right. So Patton Oswalt, who is working like crazy, plays the principal and does it in just such a sweet way. He really is so good in this.
He is. And I truly didn't know all the things he was doing until I was working with him, and then every billboard I drove by was like, also, Patton Oswalt is this. And I'm like, he is? Is he coming to work today? He's doing a lot. But he's so sweet and so funny. I mean, I knew him as a stand-up more than all these acting roles that he's great at, but I was a big fan of his stand-up. So anytime I'm like, Patton, do you have a joke for this or that? He always does.
The kids are great on this show. Glenn Howerton is in charge of this class. The kids are really fantastic. They were casted quite well.
Although they
look older than high school kids, I got to tell you.
Most of them are like 40. I genuinely don't know what their age is, but we cast all over 18 so that we can legally work them to death. But
right.
They all surprised me and were even better than, because to audition them, we had to just use lines from the pilot. So they all auditioned with like one or two lines.
Yeah.
And then by now, you know, we've aired 10 episodes, and once we figured out that they could act, we started giving them more and more, and they ended up having whole episodes about
them. They're really funny.
Mike, I grew up with Welcome Back, Kotter. I'm still not as old as the actors who played the Sweat Hogs on that show, so don't feel bad at all.
Yeah, I feel like all the 80s movies I grew up on had like 31-year-old guys being like, I just want to lose my virginity.
Right. I know.
Creator of AP Bio, an NBC show that I am loving, Mike O'Brien on the line with us. I do have a problem. AP Bio, the teacher comes on and he explains, you know, you do what I say and you'll all get an A. Don't they have to take an AP test?
They do, and hopefully we get a season two. So we have season one ending at Christmas break of the school year. And so that's a couple episodes from now, and that's the end of season one. And season two would end with the, you know, end of the school year, May, whatever. And they would have an AP test, and we'll find out if they get into colleges. And
so exciting.
Graduate and everything.
Because
yeah.
I'm wondering about the test. It's like, sure, he can't just give them an A. They
right.
have to actually take a test.
Yeah. Mike, when you create a show like this, though, do you have to figure out a timeline like that? Do you have to present that to the network or keep it in your head to know how the time will advance?
Yeah, kind of both. Like halfway through the writing process, I had assumed one year of TV should be 1 year of their school year.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we came up with this kind of slower stretching it out, actually, because we were loving the kids. And we were like, well, they've ordered 13 episodes, and then all these kids go away. And that was my general plan, was that every season you would get rid of all the students and get all new ones. But it's such a big part of the show that everyone likes so much, and we could tell that was going to be the case. So we were like, well, maybe let's at least make it two seasons per one school year. Try to get the most out of our time with these actors, and you know, we can maybe even find reasons they don't go away after. I can explain people.
Just to see if people are paying attention, Mike, you should have the kids from Glee in for an episode just to see if anyone notices.
Just have them pass in the hall.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that the guy?
Do that. That's very funny.
That would be funny. All right. And I've been paying attention to every episode. And Jack, the lead character, always whips an apple into the garbage can. What is the significance of that? He never makes it.
It's true. And I overanalyzed. I had nothing else to do my whole 2017. So I've broken all this down, and yeah, it is his emotional state is kind of shown by how he throws the apple, and so he makes it once later on when it seems like everything is finally going his way. Of course it isn't, but yeah, he misses the first 40 times he lobs it in that direction, because it's a embodiment of his frustrations.
I have a Saturday Night Live question for you, if you don't mind. Since you've left the show, and the show has always been very political, no doubt about it, but with Trump's White House, it's become front and center on the show. Do you wish you were there for that, or are you glad you're not there for that?
Glad I'm not there for that. For just personally, my comedy style was never that. And so I was there for one election year, and I hated that. I was like, I can't imagine now sitting down and being like, okay, let's see, Rosenstein, Comey, and just being like, oh God, I hate this type of, I hate writing that type of comedy. When it's done well, it's really fun and great, and I like watching it, but I was always what's known as the 5-to-1 sketches, meaning 12:55 a.m. sketch was my sweet spot. I wanted that weird one at the end of the night that everyone's asleep for. But
often the funniest, Mike, it's the funniest sketch of the night, always, you know?
Yeah, that was always my favorite. I know the show has to do singing and dancing and politics, and those, when I was at I.O. and Second City in Chicago, were the areas I hated. So I always just wanted the weird stuff.
Well, I also, as we were doing research before you came on, I'm just wondering if maybe you will suggest that we all go get our moles checked at the dermatologist. Should we do that?
Yes, absolutely. Every 3 months, if you're an Irish Catholic from Beverly or any of those areas, maybe every hour, actually, if you're that, and every 6 months, if you're anyone else.
Some pretty severe, those scars have healed nicely. You were diagnosed with melanoma. When was this?
This was August, less than 2 years ago. So whatever that would be, a year and a half ago about.
And everything's going well with that? Some serious surgery.
Yeah, it was very scary. It was my uncle passed from melanoma at like 21 years old.
God.
So we definitely have it genetically, and it was in my cheek, and it took two surgeries to get it out. In seven, they didn't want to take too much. It was right by my eyelid. So it was scary, but they also took out a lymph node in my neck to see if it had spread, and it hadn't. So I was very lucky, and they said, we've got it all, and just go back to checkups, and we're sorry about your face. This is how it looks now, and so that's all right.
You're alive.
Still breathing.
That's
wow.
Not an exact conversation, but yeah.
All right. So do you tell everybody to go get mole checks? Because I'm overdue.
Yeah, honestly. And they're always like, you know, have you been checking yourself and everything? And I'm like, yeah, but nothing. I find things so weird. I'm like, that freckle looks weird on my leg. And when you go in, they're like, no, that's fine. That's nothing. But this was just a little red bump that was just not changing or going away. So I'm not a good self-checker. So, yeah, I go in constantly. And in this case, it saved my life. The next place it would have traveled after my neck would have been my lungs. So you got to go.
All right, well, take it from Mike O'Brien. Go get a mole check today. And while you're at it, tune in to AC Bio.
Yeah, good tie-in, Wendy. Well
I know,
done.
What a great segue.
That was
huh?
excellent.
I'm glad
when you're done with that, go watch comedy.
Right.
I'm so glad you took the time to talk to us. I love new shows and AP Bio. I have to be honest with you, I'm not sure the night of the week it's on because I DVR it. Is it Thursdays on NBC?
Yeah, it's Thursdays at 8:30, but yeah, who watches TV like that? It's also on Hulu and NBC.com.
Mike, next time you're in town, please come by. We'd love to meet you.
That'd be really fun. Thank you guys so much.
It's Mike O'Brien, everybody. The show is AP Bio. It's on whenever you want. That's how TV works now. Thanks so much, Mike. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
All right, thanks. A nice man, that Mike O'Brien.
And super funny
yeah,
show.
Yeah, very funny. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then there's more of us, Bill and Wendy. Stay here. It's WGN. Was that supposed to be me? Your impression
no,
of me
I,
was,
I,
no?
It was just being me.
Just a guy? All right.
Oh, did I sound like a guy?
You just sounded like a guy, yeah.
Oh.
A guy who'd been hit in the head with a steel girder.
A local yokel?
Yeah, a local yokel. That's what you sounded like.
I want to thank Mike O'Brien, and I want to mention the Saturday Night Live, the experience over at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. That came up at our house yesterday because that is running till the end of the year. And as soon as the weather warms up,
mm-hmm.
I want to take the family there because everybody wants to see it.
I would enjoy it.
Thoroughly impressed by
that. Yeah, it's really fun, isn't it? I knew it'd be good. I didn't know it'd be that good. So.
And we saw Mike O'Brien's picture up on the wall because as you walk in at the Museum of Broadcast Communications for Saturday Night Live, the experience, there's a plethora of headshots of everyone who was ever involved with the show, writers, cast members. Isn't it everybody?
I think those are only cast members and featured players.
Oh, okay. All right.
Some of them, like Mike, who we just talked to, was both. He was a writer and a performer on the show.
All right, because I pointed to him and said, who's that? And you said, Mike O'Brien.
Yeah, future guest on our show, Mike O'Brien, I said.
Are you a soothsayer?
Yeah, I say sooth.
What is sooth?
I'm not allowed to say. Say. You know, Steve Bertrand's got... Oh, you know what else about AP Bio? I forgot to ask Mike. That's the show that Seth Meyers is also a producer of, right?
Yes, it's his production company at the end. It has, like, Seth Meyers, and Lorne Michaels has something to do with
Broadway
it as well.
Broadway Video. Yeah, Lorne Michaels' company. Seth Meyers has more and more of those popping up. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I'm seeing his credit on more and more shows. So, good for him.
Everybody works way harder than we
way
do.
Way harder.
We'd be
not
really successful if we just pushed it a little more.
It would ruin us. It would ruin us. Steve Bertrand will be in just a little bit. He's got the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll find out what he has there next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.